This is kind of a Valentine's Day, but it really is Olympics version.
I really hope Landry's asleep right now.
This is we started
off with Creedence for our first music. I don't want this to be the next.
Our broadcast engineer Mike Riesch says this is his Valentine's Day commitment.
I thought it was
the Valentine he doesn't have.
You guys said last week you wanted my Valentine's Day song. I heard that. I thought, well, that's about as appropriate as it gets.
It's appropriate for the day after as well.
Mike Riesch, our creative board op and engineer. Actually, his parents are over there in the broadcast room overlooking his shoulder right now. What is this treat that your mom brought into the studio this morning?
It's called tea ring. It's kind of like a cinnamon roll.
Kind of like. Yes, it is kind of like a cinnamon roll.
I think it's called a cavity finder.
Woo! We didn't even bring in our normal dozen of Dunkin' Donuts this morning. What a treat.
Hey, can I say one thing, too?
Tea ring?
Okay. And I got to say, today, by the way, is their 30th wedding anniversary. 30 years today.
What a great day to fly
39.
Back.
39? It is 39?
I was about to say, Mike, you're 34. You better do your math there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow.
Mom's blushing.
So they didn't produce that smart of a kid. Successful marriage. Offspring, not so much.
Hey, you can't get everything right, I guess. Good job, Mike.
Oh, back to the topic of trees.
Well, actually, we're going to talk community garden real quick. Okay, Mr. Eisenhower, you've got a very special project you're working on.
You know, I am. And following on with what Melinda shared about her working with children in gardens, we have a really great opportunity today. In fact, right across the street from Harper's Nursery, right on the west side of Hayden Road, there is a South Scottsdale Community Garden grand opening today. For those of you who would like to do some gardening but don't have the space in your yard and would like to kind of rub shoulders with other people in the community who are also have a green thumb or would like to learn how to get a green thumb, you can go rent a small space, a small plot. They have three different sizes of plots, a 4x4, a 6x10, or maybe a 6x24. And even the largest one rents for $85 a year. The small one, the 4x4, they have raised handicap accessible plots that are as low as $40 a year. So it's a great opportunity. We've never had a community garden in that part of town, and we're really excited. It's the grand opening is today around 11:30, and to kick it off, this grand opening, they're having a lunch that they're offering to the public, a suggested donation of $10 for Spuds for Buds. They are actually making baked potatoes for everyone today with your choice of toppings, and it'll also give you an opportunity to hear a little bit about the vision of this community garden and what they intend to do for the community, and give you a chance to maybe come see the garden and maybe select a plot today. Maybe you'd like to get started with your gardening. So we're real excited. I'm going to be teaching my pruning class at Harper's from 10 to 11, and then I'm going to jump across the street for the grand opening starting around 11:30. They're having the ribbon cutting, and lunch starts around 12.
Man, you got a busy day today, sir.
I do. I'm excited about it. A lot of fun.
How big a piece of ground have they committed to this endeavor?
Well, they've got about 2 or 3 acres of land behind the garden itself is a large plot. I don't know exactly how large, maybe 100 by 300 feet. And they've got it all broken into parcels, and they've just opened up. So your chance of getting a plot are pretty good if you want to get out there right away and get signed up.
Wow. Community gardens are such a great community builder. And the statistics on how much crime and graffiti go away after community gardens are established are just incredible.
Well, it's so
and
much,
not that that area is plagued with either one of those.
No, it's a great outreach to the local community. It gives people in that area, especially if you live in that area and you can walk or bike or drive over quickly. It's just a great place to join with community folks in your neighborhood who are also planting. They do ask you to give back. One of the commitments they ask you to make if you're a plot if you have a plot, is to give back 10% of your produce to local food banks in the area. So that's going to be kind of an outreach that they want to make in a give back to the community.
And something you learn quickly in gardening, and as you become better and better, it's pretty easy to grow more than you can eat before that plant goes bad. So that's
sure there's going to be a lot of extra produce that you'll be able to be a part of distributing and taking home for yourself as well.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to talk with Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, Susan in Phoenix.
Three different sizes. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Sorry, I wasn't sure that you had me.
No problem.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a lemon tree that I planted in a half a whiskey barrel probably about 6-7 years ago. It's doing very well, but the whiskey barrel is not doing so well. It's falling apart, and I'm pretty sure the roots of the tree have gone right through the bottom of that. So I'm wondering, can I leave it as it is, or should I wiggle that whiskey barrel off from around it and maybe put pavers up and build it up that way to stabilize the dirt around the tree? Or any suggestions would be appreciated.
You know, if you could do some sort of a retrofit and leave those roots intact that got into the native soil, it probably would give the tree a better chance of survival. If you could build up, like you say, soil up around planting the pot, the actual root ball itself, that'd be great. But you could also, if you don't want it in that location and would like to move it, you could, take a chance by trying to keep that barrel in place and get underneath it and try to cut it. Cut that root off where it goes into the native soil and then move it to its new location and set it down into the ground. It's a bit of a risk, that there might be some transplant shock if you did that, but there's quite a bit of root mass represented above ground, above the native soil in that root ball. So chances are, depending on the size of the tree, how large a diameter is that tree? I mean, the trunk diameter, is it a couple inches?
How big is the diameter of the trunk of that tree? Probably about the size of, About 4 inches, he said.
About 3 or 4 inches, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still a pretty small tree, so chances are you could probably, get it successfully transplanted if you wanted to try to cut that root in the native soil and move it and get it set into the regular soil.
Next on our Talking Trees Talking Points, we have olive trees on the list. If you have olive trees, fruiting olive trees is... And you were diligent last time we had Mr. Eisenhower on in January. You had suggested prune it to spray it. Well, now's the time to spray it.
Right. The spraying can continue for a little while longer. If you are planning to spray to prevent the fruiting, you need to get going on that right away. Get on your horse and get that scheduled, because you're running out of time before the fruit actually sets. And with this warm weather, some of those fruits are already setting. You can spray them while the little buds and the fruit are quite small, but you're running out of time.
Now, I haven't taken a full mental inventory, memorized everything on the shelves at a nursery, and I don't have olive trees. Is that a product I could just go to a nursery and get, or is that a professional service that has to be done?
There are some products available over the counter, and go to the local nursery and you can, ask for those, Olive Stop and a couple others that actually prevent the fruiting. So you can do that. You can get it professionally. If the trees are pretty large, it's kind of hard to get good coverage. That's the real limiting factor, is can you get up that high? And that olive stop can, if it's sprayed on other plants, can cause them to defoliate, and it can cause some health problems with surrounding plants. So a professional should probably apply it if it's going to be a larger tree.
And on that larger tree, I mean, if somebody was that super diehard, I mean, we're talking renting a cherry picker. I mean, you couldn't just get a ladder, even if you could get as tall as that tree, because you still couldn't get to the middle of it.
Yeah, with a hose end sprayer, you can get some pretty good coverage. But again, the larger the tree, the more difficult.
I have seen ladders mounted on top of F-150 cabs,
parked up next to the truck.
Down with sandbags. I've seen that process used a couple times. Olive trees are one of those trees. I think they're the ugliest tree on the planet, and I love olives. I mean, I can eat a bowl full olives, any kind of olive. I love all olives. But, boy, I'm glad somebody else likes that tree because I think it's the ugliest tree on the planet.
Oh, I really disagree. I love olives. They can be a little nondescript. They are, have a great...
Nondescript,
they have a gray leaf. They have a gray leaf and they have gray trunks, so there's not a lot of distinctive color changes that make other trees more attractive. But if you've seen a beautifully pruned, fully mature olive tree, I don't think there's much that can... compete with the beauty of that gnarled trunk and those. It's just I just love them.
Now the unfortunate thing about it, or maybe not, that's not the right word, but so you can't plant them locally. You can't plant a fruiting olive tree anymore. Very right. disappointing. But there are some ornamentals. If you like that look, mm-hmm. that Mediterranean style, you right. could get a
Swan Hill. Is the breed the hybrid? Right, right. It's a Swan Hill olive. Is a non-fruiting olive and. So you can get all the characteristics and the beauty of the olive if you consider it beauty.
Now, as a self-respecting arborist, when someone asks you to poodle quaff their olive, you refuse, don't you?
Yeah, we don't poodle cut any kind of trees. We call that lion's tailing, and it's not an acceptable pruning practice.
And it's ugly.
Yeah, it can be, and it can lead to all sorts of problems down the road. Even though it might look kind of neat to see that branch architecture, it's not good to over-thin the interior of any tree.
When I see that, I think that's somebody that really wants to do olive spray themselves. And they say, well, if I cut all the branches off, I only got this little bit to spray on the end.
Well, this is right. And landscapers tend to have a vested interest in making sure they don't have too many leaves to clean up week after week. So landscapers will get in and strip the heck out of the trees just to make sure that they don't have that weekly cleanup to do.
Because they've got an hour on the job and they got to be on to the next one.
Right.
For your landscape. Not every maintenance contract.
Olives and Aleppos.
You could do without.
One 888-767-4348. As you know,
that's 1-888 Rosie for you. If you'd like to learn more today, you can. You get to Thomas, just south of Hayden, at Harper's Nursery. You're going to be there from 10 to 11.
And there's a lot of rose pruning going on at Harper's today, as well as pond plant pruning today. So if you want to learn how to maintain your pond plants as well, we'll have there's going to be some classes for that as well.
And those pond plants, if somebody doesn't have one, it'd probably be a great learning experience or at least some inspiration to have one installed. They've recently put, and actually I say recently put, I've been there in the construction stage. And it's been a couple months since I've been there. Is that pond completely done at their Scottsdale location?
No, I don't know either. Yeah, but Paul Holdeman with the Pond Gnome will be there teaching today. And he's a great guy and does a really good presentation. So be sure to, yeah.
They've got a very mature one at the Mesa location that's got to be 7 or 8 years old by now.
Yeah.
I would think.
Paul is Paul Holdeman, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. He is the one that showed me not all ponds are created equal. What he does with a pond is absolutely incredible. And they don't have to be these high maintenance, algae, putrid, stale water smelling creations.
Right. I think he's one of the best here in town. He's just great, yeah.
He does a fabulous.
He tries to do it more naturally and yeah, it's he's got some wonderful creations.
He
all
sure does.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about keeping kids interested in gardening with Melinda Myers. I tell you what, a pond will keep them occupied for hours with the water and all the natural wildlife that will come there. Now, if you're sure. in a more rural area and you've got wildlife, I mean, you've got to make sure you've got a defense fence. You're going to walk out and you're going to have javelinas, you're going to have cattle.
That's right.
You're in open range. So make sure it's in a contained area just to keep coyotes and whatever riffraff may come.
One of my customers in Fountain Hills has a really beautiful pond that Paul installed many years ago, and they have javelina come regularly and bathe in it. They don't really care because they
don't have kids.
No, that's right. They love to see the wildlife come in.